There is no other book like the Bible. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The very next thing on God's prophetic calendar is the great catching away, the coming of Jesus to the clouds to call his waiting people home, which we call the rapture. Very soon, we believe, Christ will come to claim his bride, the redeemed of every tongue, tribe, and nation to their eternal home. And this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will use scripture to take us beyond that event to reveal something of the incredible joys that await those in union with Christ. Here now is Pastor Grant with Invitation to a Royal Wedding.
Mary's husband, John, was very sick, and she took him to the doctor. And after the doctor had examined John, he called Mary into his office and told her, "Your husband has a rare form of anemia, and without treatment, he will be dead in a few weeks." He said, "But if he receives proper nutrition, he should get better. So here's what I need you to do. Mary, you're going to have to, each morning, you're going to have to get up early and make sure he has a nice hot breakfast. And at lunchtime, you're going to have to give him a good hot lunch. And for dinner, you're going to give him a nice hearty dinner, you know, meat and potatoes, and make sure he gets a good dessert, probably a nice apple pie after dinner." He said, "If you keep that up, after a while, he should recover." Well, Mary walked back to the examination room where John was waiting, and she was looking really very sad. And when John saw her, he just assumed that things really were much worse than he thought they were. And so he said, "How bad is it? How bad is it?" She said, "What did the doctor say?" With tears welling up in her eyes, Mary blurted out, "Honey, the doctor says you are going to die." Mary was not about to cook all the meals. That fictitious story highlights the sad reality that not all marriages are great. But one of these days, every born-again Christian will be part of a royal wedding in heaven. Amen? Amen. And that's going to be great. And today I'm using as my theme, Invitation to a Royal Wedding. This is the third message in a mini-series in which we have been examining several Bible prophecies that God gave hundreds of years before they were fulfilled in detail. And listen, there is no other book. When you really consider, I hope you've been following and paying attention and just pondering how God prophesied through his servants hundreds of years before and how detailed the fulfillment of these prophecies were. And I'm here to tell you that there is no other book like the Bible. Amen? You know, some people are impressed with the vague prophecies of people like Gene Dixon. You've heard of Gene Dixon and Nostradamus. And some people are impressed by some of these people's vague prophecies, which are often false. It's amazing that the world is willing to listen and pay attention to prophets who give prophecies that are false. You see, if they get 5 out of 10, they're pretty good prophets. Can you imagine that? 5 out of 10 is okay. But God, the scriptures that gives 100% accurate prophecies, we'll put that to the side. Even Christians sometimes don't pay attention to this holy word of God. Oh, come on. Many Christians have this Bible on their shelf. They pull it out when it's time to come to church. And of course, nowadays that we have our Bibles on the phone, we don't even pull it out then. May the Lord help us. But we're impressed with all these books and religious books like the Quran. Yes, I'm going to say it. The Quran is also full of stuff that is fake. Don't throw any stones. Don't put a march around our church. Don't circle us. If you circle us, it's just going to draw attention and let us preach more about the matchless grace of Christ. Amen. There is no other book like the Bible. Amen. So put this in your notes. Only the Bible is inerrant and infallible. Only the Bible is inerrant and infallible. What does that mean? You put this down. It is not only without error that's inerrant. It is infallible. The Bible is incapable of being wrong. Did you know that? It is incapable of being wrong. You say, Pastor, how could the Bible be incapable of being wrong? Guess why? Because it's the Word of God. Say it again. Amen? And God cannot make a mistake. Let me put three Bible verses on the screen to help emphasize this. I want to drive this home even before we get to our burden for today. But here is Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. It's important that we get this, that the Bible is inerrant and infallible, because some of what the Bible says seems so incredibly far-fetched that sometimes if we're not careful, some Christians aren't even sure they believe it. And so we had better start off by understanding, young people, just get this deep down in your soul. The Bible has no errors and it cannot make an error. You can build your life on the Word of God because it cannot make an error. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6 says this: every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. Do not add to his words or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. Every word of God proves true. Every word. Amen. But the Bible warns what? Do not add. If you add, it ain't his word anymore. Amen. Here's another verse. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 7. I'm going to use the Message for this one. Here's how the Message Bible puts Hebrews 6, 7. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word. Amen? When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word. That's all the guarantee we need. God gave his word. And that's a rock solid guarantee, because God cannot break his word. Amen. But here's a third one. You know this one, but since you know it so well, I'm going to use the Message version, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, where the Word of God says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. 2 Timothy 3, 6, 17, you can move along. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes. Did you know the Bible does all this? As you read the Scriptures, it helps you. It shows you truth. It exposes area in your life and in your heart that's rebellious. It corrects our mistakes. It trains us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. Thank God for the Bible, for the Bible is incapable of being wrong and provides powerful benefits for those willing to take time to read it. Are you spending time reading the Bible? Teenager, young adult. Yes, my dear sister, those of us who are beyond teens, those who can't qualify anymore as young adults. I'm not the only one here. Am I right about that? All those who, whatever age you are you spending time in this book? Praise God. Praise God. If this book is so incredible, I challenge you as we start, let's challenge each other. As we start a brand new year, let us make a commitment even right now as we're seated in God's presence. Let's make a renewed commitment. God, I am committing to spending more time in your infallible word this year. Amen. Last time I shared about the rapture of the church. When Christians will be caught up to be with the Lord and will receive their new body. And if you remember, after we discussed the rapture, we started discussing the second coming of Christ. We jumped from the rapture to the second coming of Christ, when the Lord will return to earth with his church. Remember, we spoke about that. The Lord will actually come to earth with his church and will put to an end the battle of Armageddon. Remember, we spoke about that. At Israel's darkest hour, when it seems like Israel is going to be totally eradicated, the Lord Jesus will come to earth, will bring an end to the battle of Armageddon, and he will set up his kingdom on earth, a 1,000-year kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ. Some of you weren't here. If you weren't here, you need to go back and check that out so you can be caught up with the series. But I purposely, when I did that, I purposely jumped over stuff. So I don't want you to get the impression that after the rapture, the next thing is the return of Christ. Because something big is going to happen. In fact, two big things are going to happen in that interval. I'm going to talk about one this morning, and I'm going to come to the second one the next time. So write this in your notes. In between that interval, between the rapture of the church and the return of the church with Christ to earth, there is a big event, and put this in your notes. It's the marriage of Christ to his church. This whole idea of the marriage of Christ is not fairy tale. It's something real that's coming. And I want us to focus on that this morning, because I have a feeling sometimes we Christians, some of these biblical topics are just good for note-taking, and we have never allowed the Spirit of God to bless our hearts with the thrill of what this is going to be all about. And I pray, and I trust you'll pray with me, that this morning as we discuss this, we will get excited about what's ahead. When we hear the term the bride of Christ, some Christians think that this is just a nice expression. But this is more than a nice expression, for one day every Christian will be part of a royal wedding in heaven. Amen? And to better understand the marriage of Christ to his church, we're going to examine, this is the first time I've ever taken this approach, and I trust it will be a blessing to you. I want us to examine some of the wonderful lessons we can learn from Jewish weddings in Bible times. You're going to find out that if you take a study of a Jewish wedding in Bible times, there is a lot of lessons you can learn, practical lessons about what this wedding, this marriage of Christ and the church is going to look like. So put in your notes, here's the first part of the Jewish wedding. The first part is the betrothal ceremony. The betrothal ceremony. Sometimes I hear people refer to the word betrothal as used in the Bible as being the same thing as being engaged. But that's not true. Betrothal in the Bible is not the same as being engaged, for betrothal in the Bible was as binding as marriage. As a result, although they didn't live together and had not consummated their marriage, a betrothed couple would be called husband and wife. That's why in Matthew chapter 1, we may as well turn there to Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. That's why in Matthew chapter 1, Mary was referred to as Joseph's wife, even though they were only betrothed at the time. Are you in Matthew's Gospel chapter 1? If you get there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 18 reads this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was, what is that word? Betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, the marriage was not what? consummated. They were only betrothed. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And if you go down to verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to, notice what it calls him. Joseph, her what? Husband. They were only betrothed, but Joseph just called her husband and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your what? Your wife. In the Jewish context, if you were betrothed, it was as binding as a marriage, and therefore they were referred to as husband and wife, although the marriage ceremony had not taken place, although they had not consummated the marriage, they were bound together. My friend, right now we're not living with Jesus. And the marriage ceremony has not yet taken place, amen. But since we are betrothed to Jesus, we are legally bound to him, amen. He what cannot leave us nor forsake us. He can't just decide that because I messed up yesterday, he's going to kick me out, because we are bound together, amen. No, this doesn't give me any excuse. I think it was Hank Williams who sang this song, Your Cheating Heart. All right, your cheating heart, he said, will tell on you. Just because we know we are bound, don't give us the right to have a cheating heart. Because our cheating heart will certainly tell on us. Amen. Thank God, however, that we are secure in Jesus. Amen? So the first step in a Jewish wedding, and we see that in the context of Christ and his church, there is a betrothal ceremony, and we are right now betrothed to Christ. The moment we came to faith in Jesus, we are part of the bride of Christ. But second, not only is there the betrothal ceremony, there's a time of preparation. Put that on the screen. The time of preparation. During this period, the groom would prepare a home for his bride that was usually connected to his father's house. Did you hear what I'm saying? Oh, I wonder if anybody is remembering any scripture. Is any scripture popping into your mind? The groom would prepare a home for his bride that was connected to his father's house. And I know it sounds familiar to some of you, because some of you are thinking about the Amish. But that's not what we're talking about here. Once the work was completed to the satisfaction of his father, the groom would go and get his bride to escort her to the home he had prepared. You know, thank God for that. Amen. What verse you want me to turn to? What verse comes to your mind? Come on now. Let's go to John 14. Yes, some of you are calling it out. John 14. You may as well preach this message for me. John's Gospel chapter 14. John's Gospel chapter 14. It's amazing how the Word of God lines up. Listen to what it says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In whose house? What does Jesus say? Whose house it is? Isn't it amazing the connection? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you might be also. Amen. Amen. The betrothal ceremony has taken place. Amen. We belong to him. He cannot leave us. We are legally bound. Hallelujah. And right now is the time of preparation. And the Lord, our lover, is preparing a place for us in his Father's house. Hallelujah. But there's a third part of the Jewish wedding. Write this in your notes. The marriage supper and consummation. I want to talk about those two today, because we have a tendency not to talk about this I don't recall much discussion about the marriage supper and consummation. Once the husband and wife arrived at the home, so get the picture now. In the Jewish context, the groom has gone to prepare a place in his father's house. And when he has finished, when everything is ready, and daddy said, you know, in the Jewish context, daddy has to check and make sure he thinks the thing is all good. And once the groom has been told it's now is the time, the husband, he is going to go to the home, and he's going to take his wife, and he's going to go to her home. He's going to get his wife, and he's going to bring her to the place that has been prepared. Amen. He's going to bring her to the place that has been prepared. And when they get there, there's going to be a great supper. And after the great supper, I know where you're, he's already ahead of me. What do you think is going to happen after the great supper? Oh, hallelujah. After the great supper, there was going to be the bride and the groom are going to go to the bridal chamber, and they're not just going to sit down. That's where they're going to consummate the marriage. Amen. Come on now. It's interesting. You know, we talk about this stuff, but we don't realize there are spiritual ramifications. This terminology is not just used loosely by God. He wants us to understand there is joy unspeakable and full of glory ahead for the child of God. Amen. So what can we learn from this about what's ahead for the church? Put this, we're going to have a couple of things I want to say. Number one, put this in your notes. The rapture is when Jesus returns for his bride, the church. Everybody's following me, right? When it's time, the place is ready, the groom will go to get his bride. The groom, the Lord Jesus, is coming for his bride. And that's what we call the rapture.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.